It was 6 years ago this weekend that my spouse and I got engaged on Easter weekend. And what a wonderful weekend that was. It was far from the usual Easter for us, that's for sure. For one thing, we were on vacation in Asheville, North Carolina, far away from family, friends, familiarity, and our faith community. Of course, that's what made it so special. It was a magical time for just the two of us. We went on long walks, we dressed up, we got engaged at a fancy restaurant on Saturday night. But when we woke up on Easter Sunday morning, we needed community. So with joy in our hearts, we went to church. Off we went to a worship service in a church we had never been to, in a town far away from home, not knowing a single soul, but nevertheless knowing exactly what to expect. Streams of people in their finest dress, Easter lilies adorning the sanctuary with beautiful flower arrangements on the chancel, trumpets sounding notes of praise, the preacher proclaiming the good news, and the choir joyfully singing the Alleluias. It was a beautiful service. The familiarity was comforting, the liturgical routine welcome, the good news, balm for the soul. It's the kind of thing a person could get used to. We are used to Easter Sunday looking and feeling a certain way. And of course, we like our familiar, happy Easter rituals. In fact, in our tradition, we are so fond of the positive feelings of Easter. I've heard it said more than a few times that Unitarian Universalists are guilty of skipping over the Good Friday part altogether to get right to the fun part. We like the sweetness of celebration. We like the thrill of triumph. We are used to the good news and the good vibes. We are used to the strength of our trust that spring will return and that all things will be reborn. We are used to these things. We are used to our annual comfortable routine. This year is different. This year is anything but routine. It's downright abnormal. But here's the thing, says Reverend Kendall Gibbons. Easter is not about going back to normal. The essence of Easter is transformation. It's never about things going back to the way they were before. The new life of spring is new. It's not last year's leaves. Those are over and done. Even the empty tomb of the Gospels is not a sign that Jesus and his entourage are going to resume their former life. In fact, the way of things is finished. It is only a radically new understanding of how to be a community together that can save them from disillusion and despair. Imagine how Jesus' disciples felt that first Easter morning. Stunned, afraid, grief-stricken, utterly gutted. Their beloved had been mocked and murdered by the state. And he hadn't even been granted the dignity of a proper burial. In their anguish and bewilderment, that's all the women wanted that first Easter, to honor, anoint, and bury their beloved. This year, we are closer to personally experiencing this indignity than I could have ever imagined. People are dying alone, and their loved ones cannot even give them a proper burial right now due to social distancing measures. It's Easter morning, but we are still in a Good Friday world. Anything that I say today in this suffering, grieving world will be insufficient, but please allow me to be sincere. Frankly, today just doesn't feel like the right time to proclaim the usual good news. We are too experienced now to accept anything that suggests of cheap grace. Cheap grace. That's how the dominant American version of the good news has felt to me sometimes. A convenient, insufficient platitude. Everything will be okay. Jesus died for our sins. I've struggled my whole life with this, with the assumption that somehow the good news is supposed to be easy for me to understand and to accept, that it's somehow supposed to happen to me abruptly, like the experience that Saul had on the way to Damascus, a bright flash of light, a dramatic conversion, and suddenly everything will make sense and feel all right. See, that concept was something I've always wanted, but it's never happened for me. And it doesn't really make a lot of sense this morning, especially. There will be no sudden flash of relief today. Like the very first Easter, today comes without fanfare, without crowds of worshipers, without blaring trumpets, and without singing choirs. The tomb is empty. The church is empty. Nothing makes sense. Things are not normal. And it is absolutely okay to be afraid and confused right now. In fact, that would be the most rational response to what's going on in our world. But the story isn't over yet. The story isn't over yet. Yes, at first, the women who found the tomb empty fled the scene very afraid. They were devastated, overwhelmed. They had woken up in a brand new world, unwanted, completely unrecognizable. Sound familiar? They just wanted Jesus back. They just wanted things to go back to normal. Perhaps they knew it never could. But nevertheless, they kept going, even when they felt like all was lost. In the face of death and empire, these women and the other early followers of Jesus chose to keep going. They chose to transform the world with the love and compassion that Jesus taught them. Here's the thing. The essence of Easter is transformation. The world is in chaos right now. With the global pandemic sitting right on top of us, we are in a period of significant loss, face to face with some hard truths about who we are and how we live on this planet together. But here's the alleluia part, says Reverend Gibbons. Just as the thing that steals the breath of life from us and those we love is worldwide and knows no borders, so too we must survive and rise again together. COVID-19 is reminding us that borders are simply cultural and political constructs, that every human being on this planet is part of the same organism, that what affects one of us literally affects all of us, that we are all in this together. And that feels like some pretty good news to me this morning. What affects one of us affects all of us, which means we have the opportunity now to impact the entire future of our planet. As a species, we have the chance now to rise up and resurrect kindness, compassion, and community, both within our own hearts and lived out in society through fair and just policies that allow everyone equal access and opportunity to enjoy resources, purpose, and well-being. We have the chance now to right wrongs, to wipe away tears and build something new we can be proud of. Weeping may linger for the night, says the psalmist, but joy comes in the morning. Today might be your morning of joy, or maybe it will be tomorrow. But given our current reality, more likely it will take place sometime down the road. Transformation takes time. Luckily, morning comes around again and again and again. The mornings keep coming around, offering us another chance to try again, to love again, to find joy again. And slowly, the healing will get done. If we allow the transformation to happen, the broken hearts will mend and the weary world will recover and be made new. Beloveds, yesterday is gone. What was normal then will never be normal again. I know it's a scary time, but that is how Easter always begins, with despair and grief. Yet underneath, there is a quiet murmur of a greater truth, that maybe the story isn't over, that maybe we can write a new chapter. And so let us keep going. Let us rise again, knowing full well and celebrating the great truth that what affects one of us affects all of us. And therefore, there is so much we can do to heal and transform the world. Each morning gives us a fresh opportunity to try again. There is so much God is doing to heal and transform the world. Each morning gives us a fresh opportunity to experience it. So hang in there, for morning is going to come around again and again and again. So may this Easter find us open, ready, and willing to be transformed. The world is depending on it. Amen, and blessed be.